Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
We are to be not overcome by evil, but to overcome evil with good. How do you respond to evil? When someone abuses you, slanders you, hurts you, disappoints you, lies to you, lies about you, kicks you, deceives you, how do you respond? How do I respond with that? Let me tell you, we think love is a feeling and an emotion. Love is something you do. Love, agape love, is something that God empowers His sons and daughters to do in Christ Jesus. We are to love without hypocrisy, with a pure love.
The truth is, evil has already been defeated. It's just a matter of time. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message, The Ultimate Weapon, and encourages you with the proven truth that the cross of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit are your ultimate victory against evil. Stay tuned. That message is next. But before we get to today's message, we want to tell you about a powerful resource from Dr. Young called Unmasking Evil. This timely sermon series shines a light on the evil and suffering you see around you today and exposes the lies our culture believes that actually wreck people's lives. As you learn from God's Word where evil comes from and how it works, you'll be equipped to stand against evil in your own life and in our culture. We'll send you this 5-message series as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and others all over the world through this program. So call today to request Unmasking Evil when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. Now here's Dr. Young with today's message, The Ultimate Weapon.
During the Second World War, only one U.S. general was captured. General Jonathan Wainwright was captured by the Japanese. He was placed into a prison camp in Mongolia. When the war ended, MacArthur had won, peace treaty was signed, but way in Mongolia, they had no way of communication. So a period of time went by and the general there in captivity knew nothing about it. The Japanese there in that prison encampment knew nothing about it until finally an American plane landed nearby in an airfield. An officer walked over there to the prison camp, and there was General Wainwright, now crippled with a cane. The years of being there as a prisoner of war had taken its toll. And this officer went outside the base and saluted the general. And he said, "The Japanese have surrendered." Wainwright returned and began to hobble to the office of the commandant there, the prison camp, and he went in and he looked at the Japanese officer and he said, "My commander-in-chief has defeated your commander-in-chief. I am in control. I order you to surrender to me." And the officer did. Wainwright took over that prison, and subsequently, all the prisoners were set free. We've been studying evil, and I want to announce that there's still some mopping up operations to go, and the news hadn't been clearly broadcast, but Jesus Christ on the cross won the victory forever. It was an expensive victory. the cross of Christ. In the meantime, you and I are still in this world, and we see a lot of evil. We've talked about evil in the cosmic area. We talked about evil in the cultural area. We talked about evil of nations. But we haven't really brought it down, zeroed in on you and zeroed in on me personally. You see, we haven't just got it right there. Evil up there, out there, over there. But now we look how evil operates in your life and in my life. And therefore, we come to our study. And the last verse of Romans chapter 12 says how we are to handle evil. It's very simple, but it is so profound. Romans 12, verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. What does that look like? How does that operate? Back in 1987, some were not even born then. Some of you may remember that little barge just full of garbage, some 3,000 pounds of garbage, that set sail from Long Island, remember? Was going to find a place to dump the garbage. Now the whole story has come out. Evidently, some kind of mafia don there in New York had worked up a scheme with his mafia equivalent in Louisiana, and the plan was to take the garbage from that Eslick township, put in that little barge, it was to sail all the way down the East Coast and go into Louisiana, and dump all the garbage into the swamp there, into the marsh. I hear there are swamps in Louisiana. And the deal was that would produce methane gas, and they have a way of capturing that gas, and they would sell it. Half the profits would go to the crooks in Louisiana, and half the profits would go to the crooks in New York, and they would continue this process. But something happened. The Louisiana connection didn't come through, and the barge had already left Long Island and was en route, and now the barge had to find some place to unload the garbage. Problem. And they tried to unload it in Virginia. They tried to unload it in North Carolina. And then the media got an odor of this scheme. Just the media began to smell something rotten. That's back when the media could smell. And so they followed the saga of this barge. Remember, it went on for weeks. And the barge tried to unload the garbage in Georgia and in Florida, went down in the Caymans and tried to go to different islands, and they came back into Mississippi and Alabama, and finally they sailed all the way back to New York. Cost them over $1 million in the trip. And they still were loaded with garbage. And they went right back where they came from, and they found a place that called the graveyard something and dumped all the garbage there right back on Long Island where they began. What do you do with garbage? Now, we're into waste management, right? Waste management is Old Testament stuff. In the Old Testament, they would bring their sacrifices. They'd confess their sin on different days of atonement, and the sin would be covered by the blood of animals and doves, etc. But that's Old Testament. That's waste management, garbage management. In the New Testament, there is garbage elimination. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us, eliminates the garbage, obliterates the trash, throws out the waste and destroys it until it is no more. That's what happened on the cross. Now, it's interesting to take the understanding of evil and sin and garbage and trash and waste and sort of see how it operates in your life and in my life. It's also interesting to observe that you look at the major religion of the world in the Abolition of Man by Lewis again. He takes all the ethical principles of the major religions and he puts them alongside one another, and they are a lot alike. No murder, no stealing, property rights, etc. A lot of the ethical principles of the major religions and minor religions are basically alike. You can't live in society without having these basic principles in operation. So there's great agreement, except what we do personally about evil. And there, Christianity just breaks out of the pack and runs way ahead of everybody, because the Christian's answer for evil in your life and in my life is radically different from any other answer. Radically, radically different. And so we got to Romans 9, 10, 11, Paul's passionate appeal to the Jewish community to believe in Jesus as Messiah. And then we got to Romans 12, and you read it and you say, five times evil is mentioned. Whoa. Romans 13, bang, bang, a couple of times evil is mentioned right up front. So we backed up and said, let's talk about evil, and we defined evil. We talked about where evil comes from, the fall of Satan, and the fact that we are free moral agents. We can make decisions in and of ourselves. And then we said, what are the answer to evil? And we've dealt with evil in various genres, in various environments. Now it becomes up close and personal, right where you live and right where I live. And Paul, in chapter number 12 here, tells us how we are to operate in an evil, broken world, even though the victory has already been accomplished in this mopping up phrase, when old Slewfoot is still trying to destroy God's purpose for your life and for my life. So Romans 12 tells us, beginning in verse 9, love without hypocrisy. There's not a whole lot of that running around, by the way. Love totally, sincerely, without wax. That's the meaning of the word. Just genuinely. Love no matter what, no matter how. We think love is a feeling and an emotion. Love is something you do. Love, agape love, is something that God empowers his sons and daughters to do in Christ Jesus. We are to love without hypocrisy, with a pure love. And then he tells us two things we have to do. The first, do you see it there, is to abhor evil. And the second is to cling to good. Abhor evil. The word abhor there may be translated in your Bible, hate, right? You got a Bible. How many have a Bible that says hate there? You see? Yeah, it says hate. The word abhor and hate there, it means to be horrified of. In other words, we are to be horrified of evil. Evil should frighten us. It's a horrible thing. Literally, we know Jesus hated a lot of things. Do you remember that? Oh, I thought hate was bad. Oh, no. Why was Jesus such a hater of so many things? It's because Jesus was a genuine lover of so many things. And when you love something, you know, God loved the world. God loves all inhabitants of the world. Therefore, he hates things that destroys the world. He hates things that destroy those who were created in his image. Therefore, his hatred is stronger than our hatred because his love is infinite and his love is so much stronger. Now, look at what Jesus hated. He hated death, D-E-A-T-H, death. Lazarus died. He hated it. He wept. He hated death. Don't take death for granted. Don't go back in Ecclesiastes and say, there's a time to live, there's a time to die. That's Old Testament stuff, folks. That's true OT style, but in the New Testament, there's the resurrection, the life, and the new heaven and new earth. See, Christianity is a very physical faith. Very physical faith. And so Jesus hated death. Also, Jesus hated people who exploited religious people. He hated that. He cleansed the temple of money changers, exploiting people who wanted to give something in worship. Do we have any of that today? Absolutely. When Ben was a teenager, he was watching some telecast and somebody said, if you'll send us $100, you'll get, I don't know, $1,000 back. Ben watched that thing as a teenager and he made a call. He said, by the way, how much have you given and got it back? Why don't you just give and you'll get rich? I don't need to get rich. You do it if this works like that. You know, some kind of vending machine situation that you hear. That is godless. It doesn't mean that God doesn't bless us when we're blessing him, certainly. But it may not come back in coin, in Hamilton's. That's heresy. The idea, if you have enough faith, you're going to get well. Certainly, I believe in healing faith. And I see God does unilaterally heal. And we know he heals all of his children, either in this life or in heaven. He heals all of his family. I understand that. But to put this and to press God and say, I command God in Jesus' name, that's heresy, folks. God hates the exploitation of people in religion. Also, Jesus hates the exploitation of children. He said, if you lead a child astray, it's better they put a chain around your neck and weight it and drop it in the depth of the ocean. The exploitation of children. We are seeing that today, unbelievably so. Did you read what is happening in Lincoln, Nebraska? You know, I couldn't make this up. When I read it, I said, oh, this must be a joke. It can't be accurate. But evidently, the superintendent of schools and the school board there said they did not want to be gender specific with the children. What is that? And they asked the parents if they wanted the boy to be called a boy or the girl to be called a girl. They were going to refer to the girls with a G word and the boy with the boy words. And they didn't have to go by either title if they did not want to do it. And they said, teachers should not say in the school system, boys and girls or girls and boys. They need to have a gender bread, like, you know, variety of a lot of things there. Oh, yeah, I can't make this up. And said, in the children, you call them purple penguins. Don't call them boys. Say, all you purple penguins, we're going to get up and go out. Don't call them boys and girls. Let me tell you something. That is deadly. Deadly, deadly, deadly. When I was coming up for a lot of years, I hated girls. You did too, guys, and girls hated the guys. With this confused agenda that we have in this overly, overly aggressive, politically correct world, I would have thought I was a homosexual. Sure. That's how crazy this is. And children are struggling with a lot of things. God, help us if they have to struggle with identity as to what they are and what they are about and be so confused by this. This is a deadliness that is destroying many of our children. God, Jesus, hates that. He says, abhor evil. Right? But then he said, not only abhor evil, but we are to cling to that which is good. And then Paul tells us what is good. That's important we know what good is, because we've already discovered that many times evil now is passed off as good, and good is passed off as evil. Have you noticed? We talked about that. And by the way, I took these verses, and I share this with you. I hesitate to, because it's so personal. I try to pray the scripture many times. You ever pray the scripture? You pray God's word into you. And you read it and you say, Lord, am I living up to that? No, that's not you. And you begin to pray, Lord, help me by your spirit. You pray the Bible. That will just really give you some moments of tears and celebration and anxiety. And you feel so unclean and unworthy. But you pray this in. This is what it looks like. He's saying, if we're to cling to what is good, this we have a different kind of heart. We have a loving heart. He says what it is. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind, in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, trouble, sickness, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. That's a test. When you look at that, they say, oh, that's nice, that's fine, that's good. No, Lord, do I measure? Do I really have a loving heart? That's what a loving heart looks like. You can figure it out. The Spirit will tell you, as it's told me. You pray that in. And then finally, he talks about, do we have a blessing heart? Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. That's not profanity, by the way. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. In other words, a lot of people, we're with them and we don't feel like they're a blessing to us. We hear a, they suck the life out of you. You can't have too many of those in your repertoire of friends, by the way. God help you if you're married to one. But we are to be in the blessing business. I'd love to take time and put my hand on everybody's head and say, Lord, lead them. I'd love for you to put your hand on mine. We're to bless. We're to lift up. We're to encourage. We're to rejoice with. Cry with those who cry. Laugh with those who laugh. We're to be a blessing. We're to have a heart that blesses. Don't you love to be around people that are blessing you genuinely? Genuinely. By the way, this is without hypocrisy. This is the bottom line of love.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Deuteronomy 1, 28 through 30. Our brethren have made our hearts melt, saying, the people are bigger and taller than we. The cities are large and fortified to heaven. And besides, we saw the sons of Anakim there. Then I said to you, do not be shocked nor fear them. The Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight on your behalf, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. Moses sent Joshua, Caleb, and 10 other Israelites to spy out the land of Canaan, which they were about to enter. When the 10 gave their negative report, the people's hearts melted with fear. Is it any wonder? They became discouraged and disheartened. That can happen easily when confronted with a culture like we're confronted with that stands against God. When we see the giants of godlessness all around us in every way we turn, you and I can become discouraged. Our hearts can melt. As believers in Christ, however, we're compelled to hearten the disheartened. In other words, to wake up our hearts, to solidify our melted hearts, and Christ puts them back together again. So let's ask God to strengthen us and give us the resolve to stand against the godliness in our culture and encourage those who are discouraged. And remember, the Bible assures us that our Lord God who goes before us and will help us stand for him in every situation we encounter. Those who are with us, you and I in Christ, are greater than those who operate the world.
We hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word, and we'd love to strengthen you further with a powerful series by Dr. Young. It's called Unmasking Evil, and he created it to help you face the evil in our culture in a uniquely Christian way by resting in the assurance of God's love for you and the ultimate defeat of evil through the cross. This 5-message series is our thanks for your gift of support to keep this program going strong. So call now to request Unmasking Evil when you give to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Thank you. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for listening today. Come back tomorrow for the conclusion of Dr. Young's message, The Ultimate Weapon, with more encouragement about how you can have victory over evil.